let's let the musicians go ahead and take their seats. And then have the Bibles, we'll go ahead and open up the scriptures to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to attempt not to hold you real long today. Yeah, but I want the Lord to have his way for sure. Matthew chapter 28, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Ring up here, brother. Got a little bit of a ring up here, just a little bit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came, and they held him by his feet, and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And I want to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Very familiar scripture to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And one more place in the scriptures, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Let me just pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to come and ask, Lord, that you'd add your blessings to your word now. We know we are a blessed people to be able to speak, Lord, about the things that you've been committed to us. And Lord, to look in these scriptures, and we know that, God, that your presence is here just to quicken these things to us. So we just ask, God, that you'd find liberty in among us this morning in our hearts, that we just lay before you as open books, Lord, that you could speak. Lord, we just give honor and praise to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, he's happy to know that he's alive.
Man.
Man, he's alive and he's well. And because he's alive, he promised that we could be alive. Amen. And so, you know what? He didn't just leave it just to be just words. As Brother Bram said, there's been so many men that have raised up over the history of time and they've claimed different things. And every one of those men would go to their graves and that's where they lay. But not this one. This one, when he said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again, he said, I have received that commandment from my Father, and he was able to do it. Brother Ram said that because a man can say things, that's one thing, but when you can prove it, that's a different thing. Yeah. And so when Jesus was able to raise from the dead, Brother Ram was telling us in Easter Seal, he said that settled it, because he proved what he was talking about and shown that he was able. And so we're so happy that he was able to do that. And because he lives, we live. And the reason why He says that is because he knows that and promised that he would come and live in us. And so that's what our whole entire Christian life is based upon right there, is that trusting that he doesn't leave us to our own devices, that he come and would speak to us and change us, and he'd come and live in us and make it possible for us to live a life that we could not live without it. We know that pretty much people really can't really change themselves much, you know, but it takes God to change us.
Right.
You tell a person, I want you to, you know, not be acting like a sinner anymore. There's nothing they can do to stop that. But when the Lord comes in, it makes a difference. And so we're so happy to know. And I, you know, this time of year, Easter coming up and approaching like that, my mind always goes toward those sermons that Brother Branham preached in 1965, the Easter seal, and it is the rising of the sun. And if you notice there that Brother Branham, in those sermons, he had this particular theme, I guess you would say, or this particular thing that he was really emphasizing a lot on those two sermons and some thereafter, just that period of time right there in 1965, and that was the quickening power. And so I want to talk about that today, the quickening power. And so, because it is a requirement in this last day, especially, that there is quickening power that comes into the midst of the church. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. On Wednesday nights, I've been going over the a little series on the book of Revelation and talking about the things that John saw, because what John would see, that's what we see. And I've been going over that, and I noticed that Brother Branham, in these scriptures that I just read this morning, the same scriptures that he used in Easter Seal, and I noticed that he included in that where John fell dead there as he began to turn and look and see, and John fell dead. And we talked a whole lot. We all know that John is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. And so, as I've said so many times, that these things that Brother Branham gives us and has said, they're pivotal. They're foundational for us to be what we are in this hour and what he wants us to be in this hour. He delivered to us things that are for us only. I say us, I mean for the bride. Believing by faith and trusting that we are members of that bride. But so many things that he told us that's so important to us that we have to take those things and nail them down in our experience and look through the eyes that God wants us to look through, knowing these things that he's given us. And one of them is that John typing the bride, Brother Ram said, one man in a vision would type the entire body of Christ covered. And so, as John is experiencing these things, he's experiencing them as a type and of us, and not just us, but the bride of all seven church ages all the way to now. John represents that body of believers. And so when we can look at that and see these things that John experienced, then we know that we get to experience them in revealed form. And so I've been talking about that, and Brother Branham used this scripture as one of those of John fell dead. And so I've been emphasizing with that in this Wednesday night service, and we need to really, really just really take this to home, is that in our day, the religious church world was dead.
Right.
Absolutely. I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but the reason why I'm saying this is because if you were sick and you needed an operation, and there was only one man on this entire planet that could perform that operation successfully, then it wouldn't be legalism, it wouldn't be bragging, it wouldn't be anything, it would be the right thing to do for me to tell you who that one man is. And it would be the right thing for you to put all your confidence in one thing, and that is to go see the one man who can perform that operation and make you well by doing it, right? And so we understand that, and that's what we have to understand, because you could look at any other doctor in the world, and they're dead when it comes to that situation. They can't help you, but there's one who can. And so that's the whole thing I want to show you here, is that this is what scriptures are showing us, that when at the end of the church age, it was John was carried to the end of the church ages, to the end of the Laodicean age, had to turn around and look back into history like the prophet had us do, And when John fell dead, he couldn't stand before the revelation of Jesus Christ. He couldn't stand in the presence of what God wanted to show and do. The very thing that we need in this hour, John couldn't handle it. And what God is showing us here is that the church world is dead. Stop looking to them for anything and turn your attention to the one thing, the one person that can help you. And so that's what he's showing here in these scriptures, that John fell dead. And so John typing the bride, showing us that, no church, no Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, you name it, no religion out there can we go to and help us in this hour and get us ready for this translation of our bodies into the presence of God. None of them can help, so they're dead.
Right?
And so what he's showing there in the scriptures, when John fell dead, Jesus touched him and raised him up. And so if you could just kind of think about that, where would we go? And if we're the ones that were dead in our religious systems and whatever, and when it comes time, what can we do? There's not anything we can do, but if he will touch us, then he can raise us up. And so that's what he's showing us there in these scriptures, that just simply for us to understand that he's the only one, and we've known that, but we've really got to put it in perspective, because if we think that we have something to offer, we're going to try and offer it.
Yeah.
If we think somewhere, some other system down here has something that we can put in there, we can't. And what God wants us to know is that he brought us a message that is that right hand of God. And that's the thing that will raise us up in this hour and take us into his presence, is that right hand of God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. And we've got to be thoroughly understanding that like I said, I think recently, for a sinner, you've got to know thoroughly that there's nothing good in you. You can't say, well, yeah, I know but I'm a good person. You've got to realize that without Christ, you are undone completely. And the only way to live is for him to touch your life and for you just to let him.
Amen. Right.
And so we see here that John typed the bride, and as John was typing the church world all through the ages, realizing that there's nothing we could offer. The church world had gotten so degraded and so beat down and so far away from the word of God that the scripture said Jesus was on the outside knocking, trying to get in. And Brother Ram said that was the most pathetic things in scriptures, that Jesus, the very one who purchased us, is outside of the church world wishing he was in there. So they're in there worshiping like Cain worshiped, but Christ wasn't in there. That's this church age that we found ourselves in. And so Christ was on the outside knocking, trying to get in. And so had nothing to produce. But then God would come on the scene to make the difference. And I want to show you the contrast there. From going from, as Brother Ram said, the most pathetic thing in scriptures, where Christ was knocking on the door trying to get into the church, and going right from that into the Lamb coming and taking the seven sealed book and opening the seals. Brother Ram said that was the most sublime thing in scriptures. To go from one extreme to the other, and that's what we had to realize, that's the God that we serve, that when we have so messed things up in our lives and the church world is so messed up that we have nothing to offer and nothing to save us, most pathetic situation there is, then comes the most sublime thing, and that is Christ to come and lift us up out of that dead condition and bring us into his presence. And so that's the thing. They're going from the most pathetic to the most sublime. And so when John would fall dead, and I just kind of paraphrasing that, in himself could say, I can't stand before this revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm not ready for the coming of the Lord. I can't even look on the book. I can't come up into the presence of the opening of the seals. And I'm laying here dead, and I have nothing to help myself with. But who's this one who's touching me? Who's this one who's touching me and lifting me up? And the answer came there. He said, I am the first and the last, and I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive.
Right.
And the contrast there is that a church world that is so dead, they can't do anything, but there's one who's standing there who is not dead, who's alive forevermore. They can never be condemned, can never die again. The scripture said once a death had come upon him, now he can't die anymore.
Right.
And so now here's the answer. If we're dead in our religions and systems as we were in the world before we come to the message, if we were dead like that, then what we need is someone who can come and could lift us up, and it needs to be one who will not die, one who's living and cannot die. And of course he did, and he's already resurrected. And so that's the contrast there, is that here John has died, the dead church world, and yet the living one has come and touched John and lifted him up. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God has done something in my life to help me to know that there's this church world is, as I've said so many times back in Pentecost, they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, they had tongues and interpretations and those things like that, but they couldn't make these scriptures live. And they went off into fanaticism and so, those sort of things. And so Brother Bram lets us know here that in all of this, that this Christ touching us with his right hand, basically God coming with a message, and that message has come here to quicken us. Now you say, Brother Tony, you keep telling us, and so does the message, that we are just as much the Word as Christ is the Word, because that's what we understand. And you say, well, I'm to be the Word in this hour, and I can't pass away. I have to manifest what it is. And that's true. But I want you to hear what Brother Branham said. He said that Jesus Christ as a man, just as a man, could not bring to pass all those things that he was without the quickening Spirit upon him, without the Holy Spirit upon him. And so he tells us in Easter Seal, he says, now, as the promised Messiah, he quickened every word that was prophesied that he would do. He healed the sick, and how he would be born of a virgin, and that made it. It's true. He was the Word manifest here on earth. We believe that. He was the Word manifest here on earth. But he could not do this just as a man. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. That really puts Jesus down. I can tell you, we're no different than him. I mean, he feared, he hungered, he had to come to revelation as a man, otherwise he wouldn't be kinsman. See, he had to, when something stood before him that was fearful, he had to confront that fear just like you and I would. And he had to come to that revelation to realize who he was, that he could act those things out. And Brother Bram was saying that he couldn't do that as a man. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken him to quicken these promises to him. And listen to this. And Brother Bram says, I hope that we get this real clear now. Now he wants us to get this real clear. Jesus being a man himself, the body, but it took the Spirit in him, the Spirit. And he quotes, he says, it's not me that doeth the works, but it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that doth the works. See? So Jesus was the Word. And so what I'm pointing out there is that even though Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh, it wasn't just the Word laying there, but it has to be the Spirit quickening that Word. That's why I like the name of our church, Spirit and Truth Assembly, because he tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, you have to have the Holy Ghost quickening the Word. Now, you can have the Word like the Baptist and not have the Holy Ghost upon it, and they might have good theology and might be able to work circles around you in an intellectual standpoint, but without the Holy Spirit upon it, there's nothing there.
Right.
And Brother Bram said in the Pentecostals, they get the Holy Ghost, and they shout and holler, but they don't have the Word. And so they just make a bunch of noise and blow it all out the steam pipe or whatever. And he said, you can get those two together where the Pentecostals with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you get the Baptist with their Word, and you put those together, then you would have something, because you would have a people who had the Word and the anointing to go with it. And so he's telling us that even Jesus being what he was, that he as a man being the Word could not bring these things to pass, except that it was the Holy Spirit in his life that lived in him, the Spirit of the Father in him, and I want to say it this way, the quickening power that was in him. That's what he had to have. in order to be able to do it. And so, Brother Branham's telling us that Jesus could not do these things except the Holy Spirit was upon him, and we are the same. It's no different. And here at the end time, the same thing happening, that in order for the Word to be made manifest, the Word that you and I are, we have to have the anointing of God upon us to do that. There's no way around it. So, has to be the Holy Ghost quickening him and quickening us to manifest the Word that we are. The Holy Ghost has been identified in so many ways in our day, especially, that people want to tell you. I think I may have mentioned this before, I had a guy at work come to me one day and he said, "I got the Holy Ghost last night." And I'm like, well, I was thinking, you know, well, how do you know? How do you know that? You know, and I know what he was talking about because he spoke in tongues. And so, but devils speak in tongues, right? What the prophet tells us. And I've heard people speak in tongues that you'd swear up and down that was the devil doing it. And their motive while they were doing it was wrong. So, you know, but they've made the Holy Ghost into a shout or a tongues or a sensation. Or chills run over your body, or the hair stood up on the back of your neck, or something like that. And they've made the Holy Ghost out to be the manifestation of the Spirit of God to be something like that. But the message tells us that the true manifestation of the Holy Ghost in our day, the true manifestation of the Holy Ghost has come out in our day, and that is to recognize and believe the living Word for your day. That's exactly what the real manifestation in this hour. So in previous hours, you know, God, you realize, like we've talked about Luther. You know, Martin Luther had the message, the just shall live by faith. And you read where, you know, Luther smoked a pipe. And Luther had language that he shouldn't have used. Because in that hour, God wasn't requiring in his day what he requires now. Because he was just starting out bringing that restoration. And so Luther, you can't judge Luther and say, well, he's lost because he didn't have the revelation we have. It wasn't for his day. But the portion of revelation that was for his day, he had it. And those who grabbed that message in that day were the elect. And they grabbed it because they were elect. They had something in them that could focus upon that and an appetite for that. And so we know that. We understand that concept. And so, but they've made the Holy Ghost manifestation be all these sensations and all these things that Satan can imitate and all these things that people can do and not really have the Holy Ghost doing it. You follow me? But the real evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you will receive, you'll see it, receive it, believe the living Word for your day. All the denominations out there, you know, they can receive the Jesus that walked up and down the shores of Galilee. They recognize that. They see that. They talk about it all the time. But can they see him now in the form that he is in right now and what he's doing right now? Can they see that? And the answer is no. They can't. Because if they could, then they would have the revelation of Jesus Christ in their midst the same. And so they've made it out to be all kinds of things. But the true manifestation is that we can see and believe the word for our day. That's evidence that you've got the true Holy Ghost in your life. In previous ages, it might have been fine to have something, you know, a little less than that. But in this end time today, the message has brought the bar up higher, and that is that you see it and you believe it.
Right.
A word that has come that is the living Word of the day. This is what Christ is doing in our day. You know, you and I are thoroughly convinced that when Brother Ram was standing there on the platform and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart and bringing forth these revelations and so forth, we're convinced that God was in the man doing that. Because a man can't do those things. And that seems to be the strange disconnect to me, is that can't people stop and think about that? That a man can't do the things that he was able to do except God was with him to do it. And so we realize that we know that God was present there in him and doing those things. And we know that was a manifestation of God. And yet the church world all they just see him as another preacher. They don't realize that God was speaking and working through the man.
Right.
So the true manifestation has come, and that is that we can receive and believe the word for our day. And that makes it Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, because he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I remember Lonnie Jenkins talking about having a conversation with his dad, I believe it was, and it was early on in the ministry when he came into the message, and he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his dad says, well, you don't see him. I mean, he's not, you know, where is he? You know, because back then he had a flesh body walk around, you know, and talking to people, so where is he or whatever? And Lonnie said, I realized I'd missed something there, you know. And what it was is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's the living word for every day.
Right.
And so if Jesus would come into this day, which he has, he would be doing a certain thing. He would be acting out the portion of redemption for this day. And can we see that, and can we believe that and receive that and know it for what it is? And if you are elect, you do see it. You will see it. You will connect with it. And realize that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And Brother Bram, as we've said so many times, what is the new birth? He said it is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And that's not talking about a revelation of that man 2,000 years ago.
Right.
That may be part of it. But what it is the revelation of the word of the hour being made manifest. And we can look and say, praise God, that was in Brother Branham, but it didn't stay within Brother Branham. Now it's in his people.
Right, yeah.
So can you look out into the church world and see a move of God in the message in his people and recognize that that's God and that that's Jesus Christ in bride form now? Can we see it for that, what it is in this hour? Because that's exactly what it is. Because listen, as Jesus couldn't do the things he did except God was with him, as Brother Branham couldn't do the things that he did except God had that gift and was doing it, then it's the same thing now, that a bride cannot live bride life without God being in there making it happen. As I said at the beginning, you can't change yourself. You can't take up a thought and say, from this day forward, I will now live a life that is the bride of Jesus Christ. You can't do that. Because it takes quickening power to make that happen. Even if you are the word for the day, it still has to be quickened.
Amen.
The Spirit has to come upon that truth and be Spirit and truth. And when both of them are there, then you have it. It takes not just a flesh body, but it takes a life in here to quicken that body to do the things it does. My spirit can't pick up I was splitting some firewood yesterday. My spirit can't pick up an axe or a maul and split firewood. But my body can, but not without the spirit. You see what I'm saying? It takes both. And so we know that to be true. And so Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is the living word for our hour. And that is, to receive that, is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. The true evidence that something's going on in your life, that quickening power is there, is that you can see this end time message, and you see it, and you believe it, and you accept it. So Brother Bram said the quickening power has come to us in these last days to quicken us and to bring us into manifestation. And he said it was like the mama eagle. We all know about that story about the mama eagle, the mother eagle was. As Brother Bram, and I don't know if that literally happened or if it's just a story he was telling to express it, but he's talking about the farmer taking getting an egg out of an eagle's nest and putting it in the chicken pen in where the chicken eggs were. And the chicken was laying on top of that egg, and that egg hatched. And Brother Bram talked about this. He said, see, it's the atmosphere. That if the atmosphere is right, then that egg can hatch. And so he said that eagle hatched out in this chicken pen. And of course, just like us, when we're born in this world and our family does a certain thing and the people around us do a certain thing and they go to a certain church and believe a certain thing and all we know to do is be what we were raised in. We're influenced by that, so Our parents would go to a certain church. We'd probably raise up. We'd go to a certain church. Maybe even a message church. Because we're just, you know, we're just born in that. In the natural. But you see, the eagle, as Brother Graham tells in the story, the eagle was not a chicken. Even though it was born in the chicken pen, even though all it had seen around him was chicken manifestation, right? That's all he could see. But inside, he was not a chicken. Now, probably he didn't know it at first. And maybe the only thing he knew is that maybe I can't partake of these things with as much joy as they do because something's missing. This is the way I felt about it in Pentecost. I love going to church, but there was something missing. That's something that the message brought to me. And so this chicken, this eagle's, you know, not really knowing and whatever, just realizing that maybe perhaps he just can't enjoy the food that the chicken's eating like the chickens do. But he tells a story and saying that mama eagle knew that she had two eggs or more than one egg. And so she went to flying and circling and flying around and to find that egg that belonged to her, to find that little one. And she flew over the barnyard and she seen her little one down there and she screamed out, "Junior, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle." And Brother Graham said that eagle, when it heard that cry, because all it's heard is beep, 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 you know, little chick, chick, chick. But an eagle cry is different. And if you've got something down inside you that's different than what you're hearing, when you finally hear something that matches what's in you,
right,
that's going to get your attention. So you could be in all kinds of churches and Pentecost and Baptist and all these places, but if that's not what you are, then all you're doing is going through the motions. But when you hear the actual voice that cries out from above, and you know that something inside you resonates with that it sounds like something that's in you, then when that happens, that'll get your attention. And he said the eagle looks up, you know, and realizes there's this great big creature with a 14-foot wingspan, is the way he said it. And so now that eagle, that little eagle, looks up there and sees mama and says, "Yeah, there's what I've been looking for. There's what I want." And she says, "You're not an eagle. Start flapping your wings. You come on up here." "Well, how can I do it?" "Just start flapping your wings, and you know it'll work." And so she begins to counsel through that scream and that cry, begin to counsel to that one who wasn't a chicken, was really an eagle, but didn't really know it until the cry began to come. So Brother Man tells that, and he says that at the end time, this is what he says, at the end time, the Holy Spirit is like that mama eagle. But the Holy Spirit knows that there are people in this earth that it belongs to him. But they're born in denominations, and they're out here and all these different things and all this stuff. And you just have to trust to know that though they're there, they don't really belong there. They actually belong to something else. And so he said the Holy Spirit in these last days is circling around, coming around, searching to find those that actually are his. And so that's what the Holy Spirit would be doing, is coming around and like the great mama eagle to cry out. And so then when that great Holy Spirit will find that one that belongs to him over here, and another one over here, and another one over here, that Holy Spirit, through that message, through that cry, would begin to have an influence on that child of God's life and cause that child to realize that they don't really belong here, they really belong up there. And that's what the influence would do. That it would begin to speak things different than what the chicken pen had, but begin to speak something that would make a difference in their life and cause them to know that they're not part of what this is down here, even though we're born in. There's a reason why Brother Graham told that story so many times, because that's the way it works. Because that's who we are. That we are children of Almighty God, and we're born in this world, but now it's time for the great Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and catch our attention.
Right.
And so, by the manifestation of that mama eagle flying over and by the voice crying out, It caused that little eaglet to understand that it didn't belong down here, that it was really an eagle to begin with. So when the Holy, great Holy Spirit coming to seek its own, I'm going to read some quotes here to show you what Brother Branham said about this. And we're still talking about quickening power, because the message here at the end time has come to bring quickening power to us, to bring to us what we need to quicken the very predestinated word that lays within us. It can't come forth until it's quickened. And that's what this message has come to do, is to quicken it. So Brother Branham tells us in Easter Seal, he said, look at the millions on earth that didn't see or that didn't receive it when Jesus was here. But how thankful we should be this morning to know that we have the direct evidence and the Bible proves that we are included in that great resurrection morning, that great Easter. We have the earnest of it right now in our mortal bodies, in our mortal bodies. The predestinated ones are the first, of course, to be quickened when the Holy Spirit comes to claim his own. In the next sermon, Rising of the Sun, it is Rising of the Sun. Now the predestinated ones are the first to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit comes down to claim its own. Like the mama eagle, coming to claim its own. And Brother Graham said, now this is deep now, and be sure to catch this good. There he is. Like I said a while ago, he said, I hope we get this real close now, that Jesus, as a man, could not do those things unless he was quickened. Right? He told us that. Now he's telling us, now get this, this is deep, and be sure to catch this good, is what he said. Be sure to catch this good. So he's got something he wants to make sure we understand. He said, as the Son was sent across the earth, not to bring rocks, which is dirt also, to life, it was not to bring all the dirt to life, but was to bring the part of the dirt which was enclosed, which enclosed around a life. The way he said those things is kind of a tongue tire. Closed around a life. Not all men will receive Christ, oh no, but those which God foreordained life is housed around some of the dirt in this earth, and that's the one he comes to quicken. They're the ones, and now the dirt will lay there in the sun and say, oh, the sun is so hot, and the rock will say, oh, that old sun is so hot, but the little seed said, that's what I'm looking for, and it began to spring forth to life. It quickened that part of the dirt because the sun was sent not to quicken the rock, not to quicken the dirt, but to quicken the life of the seed. And now the Holy Spirit comes, and why won't people receive it? Why won't all people receive it? It wasn't sent to them. Now this is the thing he wants you to get real quick. The Holy Spirit would come just like the sun. The sun comes up to quicken. But that the whole purpose is not for that sun to quicken rocks and to quicken all dirt. Because, you know, this is the dust of the earth, right? This is the dust of the earth. The seeds are made. But the sun comes up, and the purpose is for it to quicken the seed. And so the rocks lay out there in the sun. They don't sprout and become bigger rocks or anything like that, right? But the sun does do that to the seed. So the seed has to be laying there. So Brother Ram was telling us that the Holy Spirit comes and he says, why won't all people receive it? Well, it wasn't sent to them.
Right.
So the sun's not sent. That's the whole purpose. When I go out and planting a garden and I fertilize, I realize that some of that fertilizer is going to make the grass and the weeds try to grow better. That's not why I put fertilizer there. I put fertilizer there because there's a specific plant that I want to grow for my purpose. And Brother Ram talked about uniting times and that God would pour out on this end time an anointing for us to unite with the Word. And because he poured that out, then the rest of the world is uniting. And so all these corporations are becoming great big, coming together, all uniting and making these big things. And it's because he poured that out on the earth But the purpose was to unite his bride with his word.
Right.
See? And so there are other people who had gifts in their life similar to Brother Branham because of when they were born and where they were at that they bled over into them a little bit. I mean, where was that? See? And so because he poured it out. But the purpose was for it to come to that prophet for the purpose of what his was. And so he's telling you that it wasn't even sent to them. He said, I had a guy tell me, I don't believe, I don't care what you do, if you could raise the dead or anything, heal the sick, prove it in any way, I still don't believe it. And Brother Bram said, I said, certainly not. You're an unbeliever. It don't mean anything to you. It wasn't even sent to you. It's sent to those who will believe. The message is to believers. To them that perish, it is foolishness. But to them that are in Christ and part of that seed, it's life.
Amen.
Amen? So that's the difference there. And so this guy says, I don't make no difference what you do. I'm not going to believe it. And like I've said, I've had a few experiences in my life that I can stand here and tell you, testify to you, knowing that if I was lying to you, misleading you anyway, that God could strike me right here.
Right.
Okay? But I went and personally saw that man who could see without the eyeball and pull a glass eye out and have this one taped up and could read and see just fine. Right over there on 71 Highway, north of Alma. He's passed on now. His name was Ronnie Cohen. And I've told you the story that and Mary can vouch for this part of it, that when I lived there where my grandmother had a bedroom, there was another bedroom where my Aunt Sherry, her sister, and her husband, Jerry Blassingame, he's kin to Sean Blassingame, whatever her name is, Grace's husband. Okay, so they lived there with us, and Jerry was kind of a believer, and they laughed about things. And when it came that this man was going to be there at a brush arbor over there on 71 Highway, and so there you kind of laugh about it, whatever. Matter of fact, the young man that came on Wednesday night a few times that did some work for us on plumbing or whatever, it's his dad. Jerry Blassingame is his dad. So he's like, there's something to that. There's a hoax. There's no way that man can do this. And don't ask me why God did this, but he did, okay? He said, there's no way. There's some trick there. Somehow that man's got some sort of, and that's what they think about Brother Branham, too. Oh, it had to be some trick or something. And rightfully so, because there's a lot of people out there that do shenanigans like that. They have microphones in the ear, and they go around and look at people's Bibles before service. And if anybody's there, they read to see the name, and they all kinds of stuff like that. But it just so happens that for some reason, I don't know why, but Jerry decided he was going to go. And he's like, I'm going to go because this guy is a hoax. And so I think it was midweek night. I'm not sure. But anyway, so we went. And it was just a brush arbor, four posts. And probably about, half the size of this sanctuary right here. Four posts with stuff running across there, and just bushes laying on top in the middle of a field. Nothing else, nowhere around, just a cord running out there so we could have a few lights. And that's it. And we had service there and waited and sang and all these things, and I thought, this guy's never going to show up. And when he showed up, he pulled up in an old beat-up GMC pickup truck. And he got out, and he wasn't dressed fancy. He was just dressed like any, almost like a cowboy would be or something like that. And just walked right in there. And about the time he got there, it was time for him to take over. I guess maybe we were wondering why it was taking so long for him to get there. But he comes in there. I think he gives his testimony just a little bit. He was swinging a piece of wire, barbed wire, when he was a kid. Poked his eye out. And so he had a glass eye. And of course the other eye was good. And so He said, I want, and he had you know, a full-size handkerchief, and he said, I want somebody to volunteer to come and tape up my other eye. And so I can't see out of it, the good eye, right? I don't know if I'd call that one good, because if you can see out of an eye socket, that's probably the good one, right? And when he picked somebody, he said, and guess who he picked? Jerry Blasingame. Jerry Blasingame, who lived with me in the same house I did, and made fun of it, went there because he thought it was a hoax, was the very man that Ronnie Cohen picked out and said, come up here and take my, and he used duct tape and a full-size handkerchief. By the time you fold it up, there's no way you're going to see through that, right? So he puts that over there, and Jerry tapes it up, and he makes sure the tape is real, real down through here, because he even said, oh, he's probably seeing through a little crack right there, you know, because it's not covering good. And I've never seen him. He was pressing around like that to make sure like that. And Ronnie said, make it to where you can clearly, you know that there's no way I'm going to see out of that other eye. And Jerry worked, and finally Jerry said, okay, there's no way. There's no way this guy can see out of that good eye. And he pulls that glass eye out, and he walks around like that. You ever seen an empty socket, how gross it looks? And he walked around like that right there so we could all see it. And he stopped right out in front, and he said, now anybody that has anything they want me to read, business card, whatever it is, just come and line up. And Jerry was the first one. He pulled something out of his wallet or whatever. And every person, they all lined up, and that man read everything 100% accurate out of an eye socket. I saw that. Now, I said all that to say this. Do you think, and do you think that man who witnessed that as a believer, as a Christian, that it changed his life? It didn't. He witnessed the same miracle I did, but it didn't change his life. And that's been many, many, many years ago. It was before I was ever married. That was the case. And so when Brother Graham says, a man told me, he said, I don't care how many miracles you do, what you do in front of me, I won't believe it. And Brother Rand said, sure, because it's not even sent to you. Now, I experience it, and I have to stand back and tell you that I look at that situation and I think, what is going on? And the whole thing is that miracles do not make believers out of someone who's not seed.
Right.
Now, I'm not judging that man. Maybe, perhaps, he will someday. But you get the concept. Miracles and signs and wonders, what Pentecost, oh, I spoke in tongues and the power of God came down. That doesn't make seed out of something that's non-seed.
Right.
But there are those that are seed. And when the sun comes up, like the great Holy Spirit coming over, the sun comes up, the whole purpose of this end time message to rise up was not to bless and be all this for the rest of the church world, but it was to quicken the elect seed of God in this hour. That's what it's here for. This is what Brother Branham was telling us. It was sent for that purpose. And he says, now this is deep now. And I thought, well, Brother Branham, it probably wasn't deep to him, but he was probably telling us, now this is going to be something you're going to have to stop and grasp. This is deep. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here to quicken only God's elect people. And the takeaway from that, where he says the predestinated are the first to be quickened. Because you know what? All the others are going to come up in a resurrection. But this purpose, this message at the end time, its whole purpose is to quicken the elect seed of God for this hour. And so we realize that throughout all ages, Christ and his people, he would quicken them. He would quicken us, make us alive from the sin, the way we used to live. He would change us so that we didn't live that way anymore, live in a sinful condition like we used to. Maybe we still have mistakes in our flesh and things like that, and we fight that battle, but he changes us and quickens us from a life of sin. That's been that way throughout all the ages. But here at the end time, that quickening comes to do something else. Not just to quicken us and make us believers, Christians, and not live an old life, but it's to quicken us and resurrect us out of dark denominational teachings out of all the death and everything, the darkness that was there, is to bring us alive, to bring us out of those things, and then bring us into the manifestation of the predestined work, predestinated word for the hour. Because remember, regardless of what we are, we can't manifest anything until the anointing of God comes on us to do it, until the quickening power comes to do it. We can't do it. But if that quickening power is there, then you're going to see quickening. You're going to see coming out of life of sin, coming out of the false teachings of the churches and of the denominations. You're going to see that, but there's something else that it will quicken us to, and that will quicken us into the manifestation of the living word for the hour. In other words, we said he comes and he was in Brother Branham, but he didn't stay in Brother Branham because now it's in bride, and it's the bride coming of Christ. So not only do we come from sin, not only do we come from dark denominational teaching, but we come into the quickening, the manifestation of the predestinated word which lays within us. That sermon, that message came, said, come out of her, my people. No matter how you look at it, it's all saying the same thing, that God has visited us in this end time to draw us out of those things and make us become the manifestation of the word for this hour. So we are part of this resurrection. That resurrection, but he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, then all through the ages, people could live a life free from sin. They could live quickened. Because I live, ye shall live also. But in our day, because he lives, because he has lifted up himself in the presence of this day through a ministry that could do only the things that God could do. Now, we've seen him. We've come in contact with that. That quickens us out of denominational teachings into truth. And that same quickening power quickens us into a manifestation of the bride for the hour. Because without it, you wouldn't do it. So we are part of this resurrection by his Spirit. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we read it. It said that if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Amen?
Right.
If it's in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Not just your spirit. We say, well, we are in a rapture. That's right. But the same quickening power that has quickened us from a life of sin, quickened us to come out of false teachings, and quickened us into living a life of a bride, that same quickening power will change your mortal body when it comes time.
Right.
Brother Branham emphasized that. And he said, it never leaves you. That quickening power will never leave you. As a sister's son, I'll never have to walk alone, or whatever the title was. I won't have to. Why? Because it never leaves you. Once you come in contact with that quickening power, you're not sealed until the next revival, or sealed until you make a mistake, but you are sealed until the day of your redemption, says the scriptures. So it never leaves you. That quickening power is there. You will always, once you have this, you will always be able to look into this Bible and see things beyond what the rest of the world sees. You will always be able to look into this message and hear things that will change your life. You will always be able to draw from a presence there that can you can fellowship with, and it can guide you and make this word come alive in your life. You always will have that because it's there. The presence of God. It doesn't leave. No matter what happens. And so Brother Bram said that quickening power doesn't leave. He said, look at Elisha's bones. When Elijah was caught up into the whirlwind and that spirit came back on Elisha, and Elisha went and did twice the miracles that Elijah did because he said, I want a double portion. And you can read it in the scriptures. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But the scripture shows us that when Elijah had died and his bones had been put into a cave or whatever it was, whatever place it was, and they were just bones laying there. Now you could go in there and you could talk to the bones and they wouldn't answer you. Elisha, but Brother said there was quickening power on those bones. There has to be some reason why the scripture recorded that. The scripture wanted us to know that there was something about Elisha that because it doesn't record that people's a dead body was thrown in on somebody's bones anywhere else in the scriptures, Moses or anyone else, but it tells us that they had a funeral going along, and the enemy was, they looked and saw enemy coming, and they had to respond, and they threw this dead man in that cave where those bones of Elisha was, and when his dead body touched those bones, that body came back to life from the quickening power that was on them bones.
Right.
That's right. And so the scripture tells us, for some reason, they want us to know that Elisha had quickening power on those bones, even though he was already gone. It was just bones laying there, just might have been just dust, but there was still quickening power there, so that we can take confidence to realize that when the anointing that was on a prophet comes upon us, that's with us no matter what happens, whether we go by way of the grave or come time for rapture, whatever it is, that quickening power is with us. It's on us. And it will quicken us. And so we know that to be true.
Right.
And so no matter what happens to us, Brother Brown said, there may not even be a spoonful of dust. I was thinking that you could take my ashes and you could put it on 50 spaceships and send them all in 50 different directions as fast as they can go for as long. And it makes no difference that whenever it comes time for that to come together, that quickening of power will draw those things together and reproduce me and you and whoever, whoever we're talking about as a believer.
Right.
So quickening power is there. Doesn't have to manifest all the time, but it's there. It's there for God to use as he sees fit. And so we see in this message, because this great eagle has flown over us and has cried out to us, we realize we don't belong down here where the rest of them are. We hear something that speaks to our heart that we don't find elsewhere. And that's because you've got something in here. You've got a deep calling, and there's a deep out there calling back and responding.
Right.
Or vice versa. It's calling, we're responding.
Right.
See, these are the reasons why he told us it. And I say all these because I want you to have confidence that as you walk in your everyday mundane life or whatever, however you feel, that you know that as a believer in this message, that your life has been affected by the things you've heard. And you know that you can never go away from that. You know that something has happened and you've been connected to something that nothing else will satisfy. Then you believe in that quickening power, because you wouldn't have that without quickening power. Brother Bram said it was quickening power that let us look up there and see that was our Lord up there in those clouds, those angels that made the face of Hoffman there over Arizona. He said that was quickening power that let us see these things, to understand the opening of the seals and see these things. And so we realize through this great eagle screaming out to us and saying to us, you're not denomination, you're not the rest of the world, you're my child. And we hear that. And because of that, then we know that nothing can change the plan of God in our lives. Nothing can thwart that. That God has brought us around to a place where we can be an invincible army.
Amen.
Amen. We know that and we believe that through this wonderful message. I guess people could probably say, Brother Tony, that's all you talk about is God sending this message and what it is doing for people. And I hope that's the only thing I'm guilty of, because it's true. You know, I think it might have been Eugene Braun years ago, and he was talking about the sheep of the shepherd of the sheep, and so forth. And he talked about it. He said, you know, and I've mentioned this before, that he said a good dog to shepherd sheep with, that dog will always take the sheep into the direction where he last saw the master. And I've illustrated, if you got a hill, maybe the shepherd walks down over the hill, and then he gets out of sight, but he walks all the way around like this. Well, that dog, his whole purpose is, I got to get the sheep to the shepherd. And he will take him right just where he last saw him. But as soon as that sheepdog sees the shepherd over here, immediately he takes him to where he was last seen. And as a minister of the gospel, I do my best to take you where I see you, where I've seen Christ manifesting himself in his word in this hour. And that's why I can't rally around other things and about this big program and that church and something else and all that. All I can do is try to point you to the events and the thing that happened. It is happening right now. That is the Word made flesh, because that's where you need to be. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you as the musicians come with our hearts. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts to you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word that you've given in this hour, that we can look up and hear it call our names. We love you, Lord, and we just want to rally around these truths. We ask, God, that you would just cause that quickening power just to do its purpose in us, do its work in us, Lord, to make us manifested sons and daughters of God, to realize that though we're in this world, we're not the sons and daughters of our parents, but we're of our earthly parents, but we come from somewhere greater. And Lord, as your prophet said, let's open up and here I come. May that be cry of our hearts, Lord, as we walk this journey here in this earth and have to go and do and work and all the things that are happening. But Lord, let it be the most important thing of our life that we are listening to the voice of the great eagle among us. Above us, speaking to us. We love you, Lord. We commit this time and these people into your hands, asking in Jesus' name.